You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From Washington to Hollywood and right back to Wisconsin, it's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach. Connecting the dots on the stories shaping our world with smart takes, sharp humor, and plenty of personality.
You know, I really expected more professional behavior from you.
It's news and culture without the noise.
Yeah, I'm on!
Here's Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network. My name is Greg Bach, and across the state from me right now is Mr. Pete Schwabe joining us from, I wrote it down last night, Halloween St. Nicksville, USSR. So
those are suburbs. Those are suburbs of Christmas City, USA, and I'm sorry I didn't have my camera on, pal.
That's fine. No one knew that until right now.
I know, but like, I'm like... Oh, I thought I'm like, oh, my camera's not on. So I'm still getting the hang of this radio thing.
Okay. All right. Well, speaking of radio, thank you so much for listening us tonight. We really appreciate you being here. Whether you are listening us on the radio or you are listening on the Civic Media app or watching the radio, as Pete likes to say, on Facebook, YouTube, or the platform we still call Twitter, you can always be part of the conversation by calling and texting 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream as well. You can do that, and we'd be happy to read those as long as they are in context and FCC appropriate. Tonight, folks, we have a great show. We have Kevin Dospoy from he's the director of Forward Analytics to talk about Wisconsin's economic performance since 2017. And I'm not going to spoil it for you, but it's not good. But we'll talk more about that and their report they just recently put out regarding Wisconsin's progress in, you know, the United States and being a, you know, prosperous area. And then in the second hour, Pete, this is a friend of yours, right? Greg Schwemm.
Greg Schwemm, yes, a former and current stand-up comedian who writes a nationally syndicated column called The Humor Hotel for Tribune Media Services. Very funny guy, great writer, and he's a Nightlight favorite. I'm excited for you to meet him.
How are you tonight, Pete?
I'm doing well, Greg.
Yeah?
I love weekends, but I love doing this show. And it is a Tuesday night. We are in the thick of the week. It's just great to be on the air. Great to be on the air with you. Dom holding down the fort in Madison. I love talking to people and informing them. Occasionally, we like to think we make them laugh, which is always fun. So it's just great to be on the air in the beautiful state of Wisconsin on this Tuesday night.
Love it, love it, love it. Awesome. How are you doing tonight, Dom? By the way, Dom in Appleton. Dom, I want an apple. I'm hungry. Dom in Madison right now is on the ones and twos. Mr. Domley, how are you?
Doing pretty good. I got a lot of sleep last night, so I'm feeling re-energized, refocused.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, new man.
What's a lot of sleep?
What does that count for? Yeah.
For me, it's been 8 hours. You know, usually I get like 6 or 5. Now I'm starting to get full 8 hours. So it's
what time do you go to bed at night?
I go to bed around midnight. Around midnight. Okay.
For 22 years old, I would say midnight still. For 22 years old, as well as the job you hold where you work more in the afternoon, evening,
true.
I would say midnight's not bad because you wake up at 8 and then you still have time to get your morning together. You're not like sleeping until 12:35. You're like, I got to get dressed.
Mm-hmm. And my roommate sometimes, you know, gets a little mad at me. Sometimes I'm pretty loud when it hits that 11:30 mark. But I don't know. I'll tell him, you know, that's okay. I'll be quiet.
Pete, you want to take this one?
Wait. 11:30, like he's already in bed, you mean, and you're out having a party? Is that the problem?
I tend to speak in my not in my indoor voice when it hits 11:30 at night. So something I got to get better at, I think. But
Who are you talking to at 11:30 at night?
Well, you know, I'm online. I'm a video gamer.
I'm just walking around the house right now. I'm going to make some soda. I am going to do. What do you? I don't understand.
I'm talking
to myself. Why are you? Yeah. But like in your normal, like Dom, you're a great guy.
Yes, exactly. Yes, that's what I do. And I'm a big video gamer, so I kind of talk loudly there too.
See, there you go. Yeah, I was waiting for that. I had a feeling that's
gotcha.
What you were getting.
I see.
And
okay.
I didn't want to say it, but.
It's at okay first, to I thought, pump your... Oh, go ahead, Greg.
I was going to say, at first I thought you meant like 11:30 in the morning your roommate is upset with you. I'm like, suck it up, dude. It's 11:30.
Yeah.
Most people are halfway through their workday by that point. Come on, man. But yeah, maybe just be aware of that. Mm-hmm. Be aware of that. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I think you're a pretty good guy, Dom. I would not take any crap from that roommate of yours.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay.
Perfect.
Pete Schwabe starting fights on the radio.
He's been bad-mouthing Dom for close to a year. I'm coming to the defense of our producer and friend, Dom Lee.
Wait, what did I miss?
It all happened when you were in Phoenix.
Was he the first host of this show? And they're like, they can't work together. Get him out of here. Get that schlub Greg Bach on the show.
No, he was producing the show, and Dom undercut him, threw him under the bus, literally. And now this guy, he also
doesn't pay for dinner, so yeah.
True. See that too.
Is it Taco Tuesday, Dom?
It is Taco Tuesday. It is.
It's Taco Tuesday.
We'll be right over.
Okay.
We got a great show tonight, folks. Let's do our question, Greg, and then we can tell people why they need the app. All right. It is time for the Nightlight question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
Question. Question.
Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions?
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
I absolutely love this question tonight, if I do say so myself. I, as a person who has not had a drink in a little over 3 years, not court ordered or anything, I just decided to take a break, and I've stuck with it. But that doesn't mean, Greg, I don't like talking about drinking. I find that is the new drinking for me. So tonight's question is, it's National Cocktail Day. What is your cocktail of choice? Folks, I feel like this is going to be a popular question because we're in Wisconsin. We like to have cocktails or beer or whatever. And it doesn't even have to be something. I mean, typically a cocktail has booze, but
it could be a mocktail.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, if you get home at night and you want to kick your feet up on the porch and drink just a nice, crisp, cold glass of club soda with a lime. That's your cocktail. That's your thing. You do what you want. You live your life. That's why I
absolutely
say.
And that's kind of my drink these days. I love a club soda with lemons. So let us know, folks. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also text us. If you're watching the radio on YouTube, Facebook, or what we like to call Twitter still. And you can also text us on the app, which is very easy to use. And you must have the Civic Media app. Why is that, Greg?
Why would I need the Civic Media app, Pete Schwabe, resident of Christmasville?
Oh, you're so close.
Okay. Because, my friends, it's time for the keyword in the Break into Spring Multi-State Text to Win contest. That's right. Your chance to win $200 today and be put into a grand prize drawing for a brand new mattress set from Verlo. And all you need to do is have your Civic Media app open right now or throughout the rest of the hour. You have the entire hour of 5 o'clock to participate. But this is what you're going to do. Open up that app, find a station, WAUK, and you're going to text in the keyword right now. And that keyword right this moment is chick. C-H-I-C-K. Like, look at all the baby chick. Well, look at the baby chick on the ground. Chick. C-H-I-C-K. Text that in via the Civic Media app. You can't text it in regularly. You can't call it in. You can't put it on the live stream. Not like it. You have to use the Civic Media app. Text it in. You have until 6 o'clock tonight. If you don't have the app, download it right now. Not just because of the contest, but because you can listen to us anywhere in the world. You can get your news. It's great. So it's a great app. Absolutely free. Download it. Text in the word chick, C-H-I-C-K, for the Break into Spring Text to Win Multi-State Contest. Good luck. Your next opportunity will be in the 7 o'clock hour.
But yeah, definitely text those in. And like Greg said, it's free. At prices like that, you can't afford not to have the Civic Media app.
Agreed.
All right, very good. So we'll talk. Yeah, go ahead.
Can I say something really quick? I'm sorry to interrupt you. I was in Arizona last week, and I was in my mom's car. She took her car to Arizona, and we were driving around the area. And something I noticed that made me really smile was that when her dash came up with her like Apple CarPlay, there it was right there, Civic Media app, right there.
Oh, that's fantastic. Wow. Boom. And she can't even play, right?
No, she can't. She's not allowed to play. Right now she's going, yeah, not fair. That's what she's saying right now. So,
and that's debatable, but I think it's cool that even though she can't play, she still has the Civic Media app. So good for you.
Absolutely.
That's awesome. We've got a lot to get to tonight, folks. Mm-hmm. Two great guests, a great question. What is your favorite cocktail or what is your cocktail of choice? Let us know. Text in, be part of the show, and we will read it on the radio. But right now, we've got some, I would say, three big or at least medium-sized stories to get to.
I'd say they got some hugeness.
Okay, fair enough.
All right.
The first big story.
So, Dom, I'm talking to Dom as well. Sorry, I'm like trying to close. Oh my gosh, so many ads you get on the, by the way, really quick. When you pull up a website with news, you're like, I want to read this. And then all of a sudden, like 14 layers of advertisement, like just pile over. And you can, and then like some very nice, they put the close button right there where you can see it. And you're like, cool, I'm going to close that out. Don't worry. I'll watch that new John Hamm show later. But then you either have to wait for like 15 seconds and then the little X appears, or it just sits there and does nothing.
It's terrible. So. Greg, pop-up ads on the internet have made me hate consumerism. Mm-hmm. I am so tired of being told what to buy or what I should be spending my money on. It's annoying.
It would be less annoying if it was just shots in the dark as far as like, maybe you like a new handbag or maybe you want to, but because I say something to the effect of like, oh man, I'd like to buy a new watch. Then it's all watches. I'm like, you don't know me.
They listen.
They know me. So,
The funny thing is this isn't even the first, but it should be.
I tangent real hard and I apologize. So I'll get back to it. So Pete, Dom, you know how the president of the United States has been railing against mail-in voting for years now, calling it a hoax, calling it a scam, calling it terrible, calling it unsafe, calling it a steal, all those things. You know how he did that for so long? Sure. Mm-hmm. Well, he just voted recently by mail in a Florida special election.
What?
Oh, yeah, of course. What's good that's for me, but not for thee. It's, you know, that's how that works. He's, you know, as President Trump says, the Save America Act has common sense exceptions for Americans who use mail-in ballots for illness, disability, military, or travel, but universal mail-in voting should not be allowed because it's highly susceptible to fraud. And what's funny is that right now in Wisconsin, there's a man on trial for trying to defraud mail-in voting. So it looks like this system works. It works so great that the President of the United States uses it, endorsed by Donald Trump. Mail-in voting.
He seems pretty confident and not worried mm-hmm. that anybody's going to commit fraud or mess with his vote, which begs the question. It reminds me, Greg, of in 2020 when Wisconsin Assembly Speaker Robin Voss showed up to vote in a mask, gloves, and other protective gear mm-hmm. and said everybody else it's completely safe.
Exactly.
This is a fashion thing. I'm not really worried about catching COVID.
Before I talk to you guys, I got to be hosed down with this Silkwood shower. Then I can vote.
After a quick delousing, I like to go in and here's what I thought was funny too. The Save Act, in regard to the Save Act, a recent report by the Brookings Institution published in 2025 found that the cases of mail voting fraud occurred in only 0.00004%. I might have added an extra O, but you get the point. That's a lot.
It's still very small.
Yeah,
it's still it's 4 cases out of every 10 million mail votes.
10 million? Are you kidding me? We're wasting legislators' time on this nonsense, and then he goes and does it anyway. What the heck?
Yeah, of course. That's of course insane. He does.
All right. We've got a couple other stories we'll get to. I don't know if they'll be as much fun as this one, but I guarantee they will be informative. And that is all coming up. The question of the night, folks, what is your cocktail of choice? This hour's keyword in the Break Into Spring multi-state text to win contest here we're doing at Civic Media is Chick, C-H-I-C-K. We are coming right back for more Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach with Dom on the board. Coming back, it's Nightlight on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. That's how you come out of a break, little David Bowie. Welcome back to Nightlight, folks. I'm Pete Schwabe. Sitting across the state from me is Mr. Greg Bach. And holding down the fort in Madison is Dom Lee, also known as Dom Lee. We are glad to have you with us on this Tuesday night here on the Civic Media Network. A gorgeous night. Is it just me or does it feel, it feels so good when it's still light out? This was just a couple weeks ago. Oh. This was terrible.
No, I am a huge proponent. If we're going to get rid of the back and forth every year, twice a year, I just want to make it so this is what we're on all the time, where we have lighter for longer. because I can't, I'm sorry, but 4:30, 4:45, 5 o'clock dark is just, it doesn't feel good. It just doesn't. I don't like it.
Yeah, there's that old phrase, it's you know what where I come from. I've never understood that, but
I don't understand what that means. I've never heard that in my life.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah.
All right. Well, folks, if you want, we'll talk about that during the next super secret show coming up at the break. But right now, we've got a couple more things to get to, right, Tom?
Tom? Who's Tom?
Big story.
Oh, I said Tom.
Oh, I think you said Tom. I'm like, who's Tom?
No, Tom Lee doesn't work. Hey, Greg, this is the second story, and this is interesting because for the last week, there has been speculation, mostly on social media, I would say, that Benjamin Netanyahu has been taken out, assassinated, whatever you want to call it. And now they're saying on, again, on social media, I don't know how reliable the sources are, but that he is dead, and they're using AI to show that he's still alive.
Yeah.
So in an effort to prove that he's alive, he posted three videos, and people are saying that that looks even more AI. So it's weird that you post more than one to prove it. So maybe there's something here, but it seems a little suspect.
I would say, like, I watched the, we can't play the video here because of copyright and because there are cussing, but the video we watched that kind of points all this stuff out, you know, if I'm a world leader, if I'm anybody and there's speculation that I, something's happened to me, first of all, thanks for caring. That makes a lot.
Sure.
Thank you. But I would set up something like, you know, a live thing, an interview, something that is more reputable than these social media posts that even like as the Instagram video that kind of talked about this shows, even if it's not AI, it just looks weird. Like you are in charge of a country. If you want to prove to people that you are still alive and you're fine and whatnot, then set up like an interview on your networks. Set up an interview with an American network, something where we can see your face. You can talk about what's going on. But this just seems like even if it's real, and I think it's real at this point, it still is just a swing and a miss attempt to try to both say, hey, I'm here, but also look cool.
Right.
Also, Mike Huckabee never makes you look cool. So there you go.
Yeah. They didn't have to pay him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what to make of it. Honestly, nothing would surprise me anymore. There's just too much money to be made from this and that or to keep a conflict going, whatever. Nothing would surprise me, but apparently there just isn't as much proof. So there you go.
Yeah.
We've got another big thing to get to.
We got one more story to get to. There we go.
The third big story.
Folks, if you...
Yeah, go ahead, Greg.
If you know anything about me... You know that I not only love the TV show Reacher, I love the movies Reacher and Reacher, the second one with Tom Cruise. They're fun movies, fun TV show. I've never read the books because they're always checked out of the library because everyone's dad has them. No lie. Flying home from Arizona on Sunday, dude sitting next to me with a Reacher novel, and I almost said, is that any good? Is it like the TV show? Because I'm thinking about getting one. And I'm like, oh, no. I have to put socks on over my under my sandals. But... So this TV show Reacher stars a gentleman named Alan Ritchson. He's been in a lot of, he was on Friday Night Lights. He's been on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. He's very, very funny, like big, like Arnold Schwarzenegger 2.0 version of an actor, like right now, big dude, very funny, very honest, very good follow on Instagram. there was some tumult yesterday when a video was released of him beating up a guy in his neighborhood. And what we've come to find out now is that the reason why there was a back and forth, if you will, is because Alan Ritchson was riding on his motorcycle with his children on their motorcycles down this road. And this gentleman thought they were going too fast, which they apparently were not. And he decided to stand in front of Alan Ritchson's motorcycle as he approached. And if you watch the video on Alan Ritchson's motorcycle or on his, like his body, he comes to a very hard stop and his bike goes up and he falls off.
Wow.
And this guy decides he's going to get all up in his grill about stuff, yelling at him and saying, you got to slow down. And long story short is that yesterday that dude, what was his name again? Ronnie Taylor. Ronnie Taylor ghosted right to TMZ with scratches on his forehead and starts talking about how this guy is, you know, speeding down the way. And it's, you know, I tried to warn him. Well, we saw more video and we saw exactly what happened. And this guy didn't have to stand in front of the motorcycle. He could have called the cops. He could have gone about it like the way you do it as a neighbor and as a human, but he decided to get all up in this guy's face, and Alan Ritson retaliated.
You know, and there's a lot of stuff that's a little suspicious. I'm with you on Reacher, Greg. Mm-hmm. I'm one of the people, I like the TV show and I love Tom Cruise. I like the different Reachers.
Yeah.
Smaller and kind of a badass, and also like a giant like Alan Ritson. Mm-hmm. Both great movies and shows. And he's never really caused a problem. Like, this was strange because the video that was posted initially was from another neighbor, and it only showed the part of the altercation where Alan Ritson was punching this guy on the parkway. So something kind of stunk right from the get-go. I don't believe that this guy, who I've followed for a couple of years, is going to randomly pick a fight with a guy in front of his two kids. It's just, it's off-brand for him, and it made no sense. And now, and the guy calls himself Ronnie instead of Ron. That's a red flag.
Well, I'll just say this, and people have pointed this out in the TMZ interview. Behind him on a hat stand is a Make America Great Again hat. So I'm just going to leave that sit there as a statement. I'm not going to say anything else. And I think you should take us to the break because we have things to do. And I'm just going to say that. I'm just going to say that. And you make whatever connections you want. I'm just here living my life as an American.
I didn't see that because I only see people. But I totally accept it. All right. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach. We are coming back after the break to talk to Director of Forward Analytics, Kevin Dosboy. We are going to talk about the Wisconsin economy. That's all coming up next. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach on the Civic Media Network.
Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach. My name is Greg Bach, coming to you live from Radio Park in Racine, and sitting across the state from me in Marinette, Wisconsin, is Mr. Pete Schwabba. In Madison, we have Mr. Dom Lee on the boards. You can always be part of the conversation, 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream. We are streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. You can text our live stream comments, your answer on our question for the night, which is, in celebration of National Cocktail Day, what is your favorite cocktail? It doesn't have to be alcohol. It can be a mocktail. It can be a simple drink. Whatever you enjoy, let us know. Drop a comment on the live stream. Put a text through. Call us in a little while in the second hour when we're talking about it. We'd love to hear from you. In the second hour, we are going to be talking to Greg Schwem, who is the writer of a syndicated column called Hotel Humor. He's also a stand-up comic, and we want you to stick around for that. It's going to be a great talk. But right now, and really quick, the word of the hour, the keyword for the Break in a Spring Text to Win multi-state contest is CHICK, C-H-I-C-K. Text that in via the Civic Media app for your chance to win $200 and a grand prize of a Verlo mattress set. So CHICK is the word, C-H-I-C-K, on the Civic Media app. Good luck. All right, Pete, are you ready to bring on? We're going to bring on a guest right now. It's time for guest.
What am I doing here? I'm stretched out during the break. I got all set. I'm very excited to talk to our next guest. I've got questions.
Me too. Our first guest of the evening is the Director of Forward Analytics. Please welcome to the show, Kevin Dosboy. Welcome to the show, Kevin. We're really happy to have you here tonight. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you so much for asking. So we brought you on to talk about a report that Forward Analytics put out with regard to the economic shape of Wisconsin. So let's start at the beginning. Tell us about Forward Analytics and the indicators that you used for this report that you put out.
Sure. So Forward Analytics is a research organization. We publish free research on our website that covers every major issue facing the state. We try to tackle every major issue. We've written on anything from housing affordability to childcare accessibility and affordability. And now we have written our recent report on the overall state of the economy in Wisconsin. And to do that, we looked at a bunch of different metrics. We looked at population growth, labor force growth, real GDP, and measures of income, and then poverty. And we looked at how Wisconsin does as a whole, as a state. And then we also wanted to rank how Wisconsin does compared to every other state and the nation as a whole.
You said in a recent interview, when you look at Wisconsin, like in an isolated situation, there's growth and it seems somewhat healthy, but it's when you compare us to other states that we seem to be lacking. How is the climate different in those states, and what are they doing, or how are they showing more growth than us? What are they doing differently?
Sure. So it's an interesting point in that when you look at Wisconsin as a whole, so look at real GDP. Over the past 7 years, Wisconsin has grown over 10% in real GDP, which sounds really healthy. Like, it's a really good growth rate. Mm-hmm. But when you compare it to the national rate, nationally, with the GDP has grown almost 20%, 19.5% or so. So Wisconsin is lacking. We're lagging in that one metric. And we looked at other states and saw, you know, what are they doing differently than Wisconsin? And a lot of it has to do with two of the metrics that we measured. We kind of measured them as a pipeline, if that's a good analogy. Population and labor force are the fuel of that pipeline. They go in and they impact the real GDP, which is the output, and then the outcomes, income measures. We measure per capita personal income, median household income. But a lot of the states that are doing really well in a lot of these metrics, it starts with doing really well in those two inputs, the population growth and the labor force growth.
And something that you mentioned in that article too was something called the prime age workers. And you say in the interview that from 2000 to 2010, the state was doing well to attract people here, but in the past 15 years, that's declined. The question I wanted to pose is kind of interesting because it's the wording of it all. What has either changed or not changed to create this problem?
Sure. So that prime working age population, that's like the labor force, 25 mm-hmm. to 54, or some people measure it 25 to 64. We measure 25 to 54. So that's that prime working age population. It's where you're, you know, starting to form families, you're raising your families, you're typically purchasing a single family home. If you're going to purchase a single family home, you do it in that age bracket. That is that prime working age population. So if you look back from like 1990 to 2000, Wisconsin did really well in attracting people of that age group. And a lot of those people were from people from Illinois, but from other states too. Wisconsin did really well. They did less well from 2000 to 2010, but still overall, there was a lot of net migration into the state. And then it's gone down ever since. And currently from 2020 to 2030, we're on track to surpass the previous decade, but it's still relatively low. So a lot of that has to do with, in our research has shown, a lot of it has to do with affordable housing, affordable mm-hmm. child care, and really affordable housing where jobs are located. So we measure that in a separate report that we've written on housing. This report just looks at population, labor force, and those other metrics.
Is there a area of the state in your experience that is not lacking as much, where growth is much better because it's an average, but are there areas where, you know, you can go and these things are, we do compete with other states, either Southern Wisconsin, sure. Northern Wisconsin, bigger cities, smaller cities, wherever.
Yeah. So I think Dane County is kind of an outlier in those two population and labor force growth metrics. There, you know, there's a university system, it's a state capital, it's kind of a job center. It does really well with those. However, housing affordability is a big issue in Dane County. One of the interesting things that we saw was that we have a lot of population growth areas in specifically in northern Wisconsin, which is kind of surprising to a lot of people when they read it. We have seven counties that are, I think, in the top 20% nationwide in terms of population growth. And some of those are in northern Wisconsin. However, we have no counties in the top 20% in terms of labor force growth, top 20% nationwide. So what that means is that the population growth is driven by either children, you know, people 0 to 18 who are not in the workforce, or 65 and older who are retired and not in the workforce. And what we see in Wisconsin is a lot of that population growth is driven by those that are 65 and older, retired, not in the workforce. Specifically in the northern counties in Wisconsin, that's where the population growth is driven by that age cohort.
When things like this come to light, because I thought it was very interesting the way you framed it, is that, you know, Wisconsin is growing but still lagging. When people see these types of things, you know, as far as the attractiveness of Wisconsin for both, you know, the family and for businesses, how do things like this affect that as far as the marketability of the state, not just counties, because people can look at Milwaukee and say, I want to move to Milwaukee, but they don't. Yeah. It's like Chicago. They don't think Illinois. They think the state of Chicago. But when you see these types of things in these reports here, it does affect how attractive they can be, whether it's moving your family there or bringing a business there. How do these types of, not your report so much, but the information therein affect the attractiveness of the state then for against, say, like an Illinois or a Minnesota?
Sure. I mean, against, you say the state of Chicago, which I think is an interesting phrase because, you know, it's true. I mean, when you think of Illinois, you think of Chicago, and there's that huge big city vibe that younger people really are attracted to. And it's hard to compete with that, right?
Yeah.
Now, Madison and Dane County, I think, do a really good job competing with that, with the university system and the social amenities that are existent in Dane County. In terms of how it represents the state, we're trying to bring information to light in an easily understood format for local leaders and state leaders. And we're trying to, like, if you notice in the report, we don't prescribe any policy prescriptions, or we don't advocate for any policies. We just want the information to get into the right hands for people to look at and say, look, this is nonpartisan. It's non-political. We're not advocating for anything. This is the information in as easily understood format as we can provide. And here you go, you know, make the right decisions. So in terms of how it reflects the state, I think it's important that the right data and the correct data is out there.
Our guest is Director of Forward Analytics, Kevin Dospoy. He joins us here on Nightlight. We're talking about the overall state of the economy in Wisconsin, housing, labor force, all kinds of fun stuff. You mentioned just a moment ago, Kevin, that northern Wisconsin, you're seeing growth, but not necessarily in the labor. What is drawing people to northern? I live in northern Wisconsin. I'm in the Marinette area, and we have a couple big companies here, but oftentimes people don't move here. They move to a city halfway between here and Green Bay because, as you said, they want to be closer to bigger cities. What is drawing people to northern Wisconsin, in your opinion?
Sure. So there's two things there. First, you mentioned that people want to live in bigger cities, but they commute to these other areas where these jobs are located. There's an interesting phenomenon called stretch commuting, I think it's referred to, where people are living further and further and further away from work these days. But what our report looks at is, and what we've written about before, is specifically after COVID is when we saw a lot of the population growth in northern Wisconsin. And the data doesn't 100% show this, but we're pretty confident that through inferences that this is true, is that what happened is people either through remote work or retiring early, they moved full time to their summer homes, you know, summer cottages, winter cottages, whatever. And they moved full time to these residences because what we saw was that the population grew, but housing starts didn't grow any more than normal. New construction in homes didn't grow any more than normal. So you have an increase in residents that are there full time. You don't have any increased tax revenue because there's no new builds to raise any additional tax revenue. You might see an additional bump in sales tax revenue because people are there full time. But then you also see, since people are there full time and they're typically retired, they are they're drawing more, or typically that age group uses more social services in terms of EMS services, things like that. So there's no additional tax revenue. It's costing counties and local governments a little bit more money. And we see that population growth, though we're not seeing a growth in labor force because they're typically aged out of the labor force.
Wow. Okay. I mean, you never think about that. I know I have friends who've done what you described, just what you said. And on top of the fact that, like, access to certain things too, as far as like, we've got hospitals closing in those areas. We got, like, there's less access to certain services. That just blows my mind that they would move there and possibly have to travel 2-3 hours to a hospital. But we're talking to Kevin Dospoy, who is the director of Forward Analytics, and we're gonna take a break in a little bit. But I want to kind of pose a question to you now with regard to. With Forward Analytics, you said it's nonpartisan, nonpolitical. You're not prescribing any sort of fixes to this. But I, you know, when I feel like when anyone says it's nonpolitical, the first thing people want to say was, oh, it's not political. Okay, well, it's going to be political. But with Forward Analytics, how do you? And we'll take your answer after the break. But like looking at what you do and how do you approach people who want to immediately shut you down, saying anything in there that disagrees with me has to be political, so therefore I don't want to listen to it. How do you break through that noise and say, no, here's the details. Here are the statistics. You do with it what you want. But we'll talk more about that with you on the other side of the break. We are talking to Kevin Despoy from Forward Analytics, discussing the economic viability of Wisconsin in their new report, which will be in our show notes when you go click at civicmedia.us/shows. You are listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach here. Don't go anywhere. Stay tuned and stay close.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network. My name is Greg Bach in Radio City in Racine. Radio Park, not Radio City, Radio Park. In the city of Marinette, you got Pete Schwabe, and in Madison, you've got Dom Lee. We are here with you tonight. You have a few more minutes to text in the keyword for the Break into Spring Text to Win Multi-State Contest on your Civic Media app. You must have the app to participate. And I'm just going to say real quick, Brody in Richland Center, we got you, but it was the wrong word. The word is chick, C-H-I-C-K, like look at the baby chick on the ground. So it's chick, C-H-I-C-K. Few more minutes to do that for your chance to win $200 and a grand prize drawing of a brand new mattress set from Verlo. But good luck, and your next opportunity will be in the 7 o'clock hour. We are going to continue our conversation right now with Kevin Despoy, who is the director of Forward Analytics, discussing a report as well as an article on Wisconsin's economic viability. And something I very much used a lot of words to ask in the previous segment was, with your group being nonpartisan, non-political, and you know, you're just offering the data, how do you break through the noise of people who don't want to accept the information you have, whether it's the regular person sitting at their phone or maybe the politician who can actually do something with this information?
Sure. That's a difficult question because it's a difficult process, right? I think that we've built a reputation for being nonpartisan and nonpolitical in that a lot of our research is strictly data. It's just presented in a very, you know, we try to present it in a really easy to read format. Now, you know, there have been instances where we've had, you know, people from either side of the aisle say, well, what about this? What about that? We're not going to write about any specific policy from the left or the right. We're not going to do that. But we've had, for instance, we did a report on childcare. And this was during the days of childcare counts when that was all being kind of renewed. You know, there was a lot of pressure to say, does this one policy work or does this one policy or deregulation work? You know, what's the right answer? And unfortunately, the right answer is a little bit of both. We're not going to advocate for an individual policy, but we're going to give you the data that show what may work or what has worked in other states or other communities. So it's difficult, but I think it's doable if you're just persistent enough with accurate and easily read data.
Great.
Kevin, in regard to Wisconsin being an older state, I read something that you recently put out that said the 65 to 84 age group in Wisconsin increased by almost 42%. That's incredible in 10 years. And the population between 1 and 5 decreased like by 10% or something like that. When it comes to the housing market, like here in Marinette, I see houses in town that are just basic houses for $200,000, which doesn't sound like a lot in Madison or Milwaukee, but here in this little town, that's a ton of money. Do you see a change or anything kind of swaying in the housing market given our older population in the near future? Like a lot of these people own homes. Is there a silver lining we can at least look forward to housing prices coming down?
Oh, that is another tricky question. So when we wrote about, no, that's what I'm here for,
just
right?
Trying to get as much information out of you as I can.
So we wrote a report specifically on housing. And then it was a little bit ago, we wrote one on aging care and kind of the elder care sector, I guess is the right word. We wrote about the increased demand in nursing homes, assisted living facilities, skilled nursing facilities, things like that. And I think that's where we came up with that, or where we estimated that population growth. And more and more, the demand for skilled nursing facilities, which are those facilities that need the highest level of medical care, the demand for those facilities has been decreasing, you know, since at least when we measured the year 2000. The demand for beds in those facilities has been decreasing because the care that's provided in that lower level of, you know, the residential care apartment complexes, the facilities like that, assisted living facilities, has gotten better and increased and has been more funded. So, but as we're seeing now, more and more people are choosing and they're able to what's called age in place. And that just means staying in your home. You know, you don't want to sell your home. You don't want to move into an assisted living facility or, you know, a skilled nursing facility. So as the baby boom generation kind of moves into that 65, 75 plus age range, they're choosing to age in place because they can. You know, they just have to make, you know, sometimes they may have to make modifications to their current home, whether that's, you know, single story, wider hallways, bathroom modifications, things like that. So that's becoming more and more popular, and it's keeping people in their homes longer, which is, you know, it's a good thing. People want to age in place. They spent their whole life, you know, building and paying for their home. They want to age in place, and now they're able to. But that is reducing the number of homes on the market. So
fascinating.
Mm. Yeah. I just wonder for folks, you know, of Dom's age, will they ever have that, like, you know, will there ever be an affordable, will there ever be before, or what is their version, I guess, of an affordable house will be one day, but that's for another conversation. Before we get out of here real quick, I'm going to ask a super serious question, Kevin. Are you ready? Are you ready?
I'm ready.
It is National Cocktail Day. What is your favorite cocktail? It can be anything. Really, it doesn't have to be a cocktail.
I'm really simple. I'm just a Miller Lite guy.
There you go.
That's all it takes.
That's a great answer, because your head is flooded with numbers all day, I'm sure. Yeah. You just want your drinking to be
relax,
easy.
Right? That's it. Something to relax. It's real simple, real basic. I'm happy.
There you go. For me, I go to a ball game, I drink a High Life. I'm not drinking one of these $40 beers or cocktails. No. I'm like, no, give me a big can of weak beer. I'll take that for $13. Thank you very much. But Kevin, thank you so much for being here. Kevin Dospoy is the director of Forward Analytics. You can check out all of the information in our show notes by going to civicmedia.us/shows. Look for Nightlight, and you can find our show there for you to read this for yourself. Because as he said, they put this into ways that we can read. As we're not data brains. It's easy to ingest and take in the information and make your own decisions on what you think is important. So, Kevin, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate your time tonight.
Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right, folks, we're going to come right back after the news. But when we do, it's going to be talking about your thoughts on National Cocktail Day, as well as talking to our next guest, Greg Schwemm, who is a writer of the syndicated column Hotel Humor. Don't go anywhere. Also, last few seconds, Chick, C-H-I-C-K, text it in via the Civic Media app. Good luck. You're listening to Nightlight. Stay tuned and stay close.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.